We are going to be looking today at a very familiar passage. And to share that passage, I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to be looking at the story of David and Goliath, but with a new twist. So let's pray and we'll get right into it. Father, thank you today for your word, which is never out of date, which has power to save, to encourage, to correct, and to instruct us in how you would want us to live. So we pray today that you do all of those things in each of our hearts and lives as we have individual needs. So bless us today, Lord Jesus, we pray. We ask it for your glory and in your name, amen. Do you ever feel that your spiritual life is kind of stagnated? You just come to that place where maybe you're treading water and it just seems like it's a never-ending thing. We're stagnant. The story of the Chevy Nova is an interesting one. It was a relatively successful American car by way of sales. And as a result, Chevrolet was encouraged to take the sales worldwide. It did okay, except in Mexico and other Latin American countries. It just didn't sell. And so the marketing department put their heads together and they stepped up a national campaign and they did a lot of hoopla, but it never took off. The car just didn't sell. When they discovered the answer, it was embarrassing. In Spanish, Nova means no go. Who wants to buy a car that no goes? So, yet many Christians live their lives like that. We've been duped into believing a false message. The message that our spiritual machine within us is permanently a no go. It isn't running right. Well, wouldn't you like to have victory over that? Experience God's blessings in a fresh, new way? One night while a homeowner was absent, a burglar invaded the house. And as he was creeping through the living room, he suddenly froze in his tracks as he heard the words, "Jesus is watching you." The burglar was silent. He didn't move, and there was nothing but silence. So he crept forward. When again he was startled and frightened with the words, "Jesus is watching you," he didn't know what to do. Here he was in this house in the night. He pulled out his penlight and he started shining it all around. And in a corner was a birdcage. And in the birdcage was a parrot. And the burglar said to the parrot, "Is that you that said those words to me?" And the parrot said, "Yes." The burglar breathed a sigh of relief and he said to the parrot, "What's your name?" And the parrot said, "Moses." "That's a dumb name for a parrot," said the burglar. "What idiot named a parrot Moses?" The parrot replied, "The same idiot that named the Rottweiler Jesus." Victory. The parrot was about to witness this victory. The homeowner was going to experience it eventually, but the sweetest victory was to come to a Rottweiler with the name Jesus. Jesus was about to have a victory. But that's what we really want in our lives, is it not? For Jesus to have a victory in our lives. As a follower of Christ, I love to hear testimonies of victory. I'm all over movies like Chariots of Fire, where the victory is seen. I love that movie. But I dare say, the sweetest victory comes when it happens to me. When I see God at work in my life, giving me the victory. Today, I'd like for us to take a look back in time at the conquest of David over Goliath and examine some victory principles. Victory principles that will enable us to succeed in our desire to become more like Jesus. You see, within our lives reside giants. Giants that defeat us or intimidate us in our desire to be a better parent, a better spouse, a better grandparent, or just a better person, a better follower of Jesus. Giants reside within all of us. None of us really are excluded. They may come in the appearance of faulty relationships that bring us down, experiencing spiritual defeat. Relationships perhaps with your kids or your in-laws, or maybe it's a neighbor or a boss or a fellow employee or maybe even a church member. Hope not. Giants can be defined as any individual or thing in your life that frustrates or brings you down, oppresses you. A circumstance that may be a giant in your life. Perhaps it's a crippling disease or a physical limitation. Perhaps it's a nagging habit that we haven't had victory over. Or it could be a critical spirit that just seems to ooze out. All of these can be giants in our lives, defeating us and discouraging us in our walk with Jesus. There is a way to defeat the giants, and we're going to look at that through five victory principles that are seen in the account of David and Goliath. Now, most all of you are familiar with that account, so we won't read the entire chapter, but excerpts from it in 1 Samuel 17. I'm reading from verse 1. Now the Philistines, those are the bad guys, now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socoh in Judah. They pitched their camp at Ephes Damimim, that's easy for you to say, between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. You get the picture, right? A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. In English, that's 9 feet 9 inches. This guy was a big dude. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a cast of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. Again, in our language, that's 125 point something pounds. Can you imagine that? This guy was huge. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, 15 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood, verse 8, and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out to fight and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and the Israelite were dismayed and terrified. The Philistines represent the enemies of God in our lives. They represent everything and anything that impedes our walk with God. Goliath stands for those specific things in our lives that oppress us and frustrate us and keep us from moving on and becoming the kind of people that God has redeemed us to be. Many Christians never achieve the maximum potential of their lives because they never conquer the thing that they fear most. So let's look at victory principles from this conflict that will enable you and me to experience victory over the Goliaths that challenge us. Are you ready? Victory principle number one. There's five of them. You can write them down in your bulletin, or I think you have a sheet, don't you? Thank Eunice. Victory principle number one, verses 20 to 24. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of his shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to battle in its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Victory principle number one, victory over fear. Victory over fear. Fear is the result of looking only at circumstances and not realizing that our God is the God of circumstances. You and I are not limited by the circumstances in our lives. Saul and the Israelites kept putting off fighting the giant. And the longer they put it off, the more intimidated they became. King Saul believed that their future depended upon their abilities. Sound familiar? Their army versus our army. Their weapons versus our weapons. Their man versus any man from Israel. Our abilities. David lived a different perspective. David's dependence was upon God. You see, Saul saw Goliath and said, he's too big to hit. David saw Goliath and said, he's too big to miss. It's a perspective. Victory principle number one, get victory over fear. Trust God. He is the God of circumstances. Victory principle number two, be faithful. Be faithful. Verses 32 through 37. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you're not able to go out and fight against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. And he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of these, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Be faithful. Victory principle number two. Be faithful in what God gives you today. He will use it tomorrow. Are you a small group leader? Be faithful. Teach the word. He's going to use that not only in your life, but he'll use it and exalt you in your ministry. David was trustworthy as a shepherd boy. He did his job faithfully. He overcame obstacles and trials by trusting God. The hymn writer was right when he wrote, "Faith is the victory that overcomes the world." I read recently an article on George Mueller, who started an orphanage in Britain. He lived by faith, as was challenged in his early Christian walk. And George Mueller would pray with the staff even when they had nothing for the evening meal, and God would supply. George Mueller said this, "When I trusted God for a dollar, and I learned I could trust him for a dollar, I trusted him for 10. And when I learned I could trust him for 10, I trusted him for 100. And over the life and ministry of George Mueller in this orphanage, they estimate over $2 million passed through his hands." You see, be faithful in what God gives you today. He'll use it tomorrow. Victory principle number three. You can't fight battles with borrowed armor. Verses 38 and 39. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. You can't fight battles with borrowed armor. Spiritual victories will come through your spiritual development, not through the spiritual strength of your partner or your parents or even your pastor. This truth is played out in the New Testament for us in Acts chapter 19. Let me read it to you. A team of Jews who were traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits, tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus. The incantation that they used was this: "I command you by Jesus, whom Saul preaches, to come out." The seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But when they tried it on a man possessed by an evil spirit, the spirit replies, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you?" And he leaped on them and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house, the Bible says, naked and badly injured. You have to develop your spiritual muscles, my friends. And you can do that by having first a consistent daily devotions where you spend time in God's word. Because you see, it's God's word that will build the spiritual muscle within you. If that's a new concept to you, I would suggest you begin by reading the Gospel of John. Read a chapter a day, the Gospel of John. After you've read the Gospel of John, my suggestion would be to read the Gospel of Mark and then go into some of Paul's writings. Secondly, I would suggest to help build your spiritual muscle that you begin journaling. You know, now, wait a minute, Pastor Rick. I don't do that. Well, maybe not. And you don't have to get anything formal, a book or anything. Get a little notebook. And every day, just write down something that God shows you from the Word. Could be a little truth that you never knew before. Or it could be that, man, I was impressed by the way Jesus handled the Pharisees in this passage. whatever. Write it down. A third principle is memorizing scripture. And you go, whoa, that's way beyond me. I can hardly remember my name. Try memorizing one verse a week. Just do it. One verse a week. Do you realize that if you do that at the end of a year, you will have 52 verses in your spiritual armor bank? You will be amazed. One verse a week. You can't fight battles with borrowed armor. You got to develop your own spiritual muscles. Victory principle number 4. The battle belongs to the Lord. Go in His power. Let me read it. Verse 45, 47. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hand." Victory principle number 4, the battle belongs to the Lord, go in His power. David intended his victory to demonstrate to all the earth that the God of Israel exists and He delivers His people against overwhelming odds. The battle belongs to the Lord puts the contest into a proper perspective. David went to battle with confidence because he went to battle with his God as his source of power. You know, there's many helpful articles and materials out there that have helped people to grow in their spiritual life and overcome perhaps some of the giants. But there is only one method with an eternal impact, and that is trusting the Lord, drawing upon His strength for victory. Victory principle number 5, verses 48 to 50. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and as he was falling face down to the ground, it was overheard him say, "Nothing like this has ever entered my mind before." Now that last part was just my embellishment to see if you were awake and still hanging with me here. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Victory principle number 5, move toward your enemy. Do not run away from him. You know, I think that's one of the issues that face us when these giants surface in our lives. We pray and we do what's right, but then we sit and wait for God to do something. Victory principle number 5 is move toward your enemy. Do not run from him. God required Israel to win the victory. He expects the same from us. General Dwight D. Eisenhower said, "There are no victories at discount prices. If we are to experience victory over the giants in our lives, it will only come as a result of victory on the battlefield." So let's wrap it up, okay? Why Goliath lost the battle? First, he trusted in himself That's a danger that we face. He trusted in himself. He thought he was unbeatable, and he was a soldier in the wrong army. Why did David win the battle? Because he trusted in God. He knew the power of God, and he was a soldier in the right army. Goliath lost to the Lord. David won with the Lord. You see, when we encounter giants in our lives, remember these victory principles from the life of David. And remember, the scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Yes, pray with me. Heavenly Father, we fight giants who want to come and cripple us and defeat us in our faith walk. We realize that victory is not to be found in our strength. Victory over the Goliaths in our lives is to be found in you, Lord. So I ask you for help today and every day so that Jesus gets the victory. I ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.